Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. Always want to thank 91.1 Grace FM. So I want to just give a little a precursor here to what you're going to hear now. This is a podcast I did back in 2013 when I was part of the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention. I am no longer part of the SBC, the church here in Desert Sky Baptist Church. We are Reformed Baptists. But this podcast I did, I think, is apropos to just bring out today. It speaks about original sin. I did it with Pastor Jason Smathers, who at that time was an SBC pastor. He is no longer a pastor and no longer part of the SBC also. So I do want to put that kind of moniker on before you hear the podcast. I think it's informative. I think it's something to think about. It's not putting down any denomination or anything like that. It's talking about original sin. Again, just to say, I am not part of the SBC anymore. At that time, I was. And I was just trying to speak into some of the stuff we were hearing. This is talking about original sin and total depravity. I think the year was 2013, but I think it's worth listening to again. So with no further ado, here is that podcast. Well, hello again, everybody. I am Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, a pastor of the First Southern Baptist Church in Black Canyon City, filling in for Tom Brown today. Seems like I just left here. I was here Monday, and I'm back on Thursday. And today we have a topic. We're talking about the doctrine of original sin. And it actually came about from one of our callers last Monday when we had Alan Schliemann on, Reginald from Phoenix, who brought this up, and it kind of tugged on my heart and in my mind. And who did I call? Obviously, Pastor Jason Smathers, and he's with me today by phone from his church, and I will have him introduce himself in a couple of seconds, and then we'll get into the very tough subject of original sin. But what do we got? It's 2:02, Jason, so we got about 2.5 minutes. So go ahead, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself, and the audience is surely familiar with you, but just remind them who you are and what has God called you to do, and where you at right now in ministry.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on here, Pastor Dominic. Pastor Jason Smathers. I serve up here at Golden Shores Community Baptist Church in the northwest of the state. I've enjoyed coming down to Phoenix there to broadcast with you a couple times before, but I'm happy to be at the church today. And so
modern technology, right? Modern technology.
Amen.
About 2 minutes, Jason. So just tell us what's going on in the church. Anything we should know about?
You can keep our church in prayer. We're in a mostly a retirement community, but there are a lot of kids, and we're preparing for a vacation Bible school coming up. Hope to reach kids. We're kind of in a growing phase, so that's a good thing. And just seeing God work up here and add people to the kingdom and changing lives. We're blessed to see all those things going on right now.
Thank you. Same thing in Black Canyon City where I'm at. Continue to pray for the church as it's, again, a retirement community, sometimes even like a hideout community, and we try to get people into the church and want them to hear God's word. Like I says, we are talking about the doctrine of original sin, and there's a statement of faith circulating among Southern Baptists which discusses original sin. How Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden affects all mankind. Now, they claim this statement reflects the traditional understanding of Southern Baptist. However, Pastor Jason and myself respectively disagree and will look at God's word to be the leading authority in this issue. Now, Southern Baptists have six seminaries that train pastors. The presidents of two of those six seminaries have signed this statement, which really causes Pastor Jason and me some concern. Now, let me say this. These men are co-laborers in ministry. We're not talking about charlatans here like the Word of Faith movement or most of the TBN preaching that will teach you by sleight of hand, trying to rein you into a prosperity gospel. These men are co-laborers in ministry, and by God's grace, I assume and hope that they're living godly lives. In fact, one of the men that signed this statement, I think, was Pastor Jason's pastor before, at least a co-laborer also in ministry, and Jason may mention that later. But Pastor Jason and I are both Southern Baptists as well, so the controversy is close to our hearts. However, this is an issue all Christians should understand. And these things are not easy to deal with. We want to deal with the text, and that's what we're going to do over the next hour, so to or so, because what happened between God and Adam in the garden is foundational to the Christian faith. Let me share an excerpt from this so-called traditional statement. Now, this is an excerpt from two of these Southern Baptist seminaries that have affirmed this, and they say, "We affirm that because of the fall of Adam, every person inherits a nature and an environment inclined towards sin, and that every person who is capable of moral action will sin." I don't think anybody would disagree with that. We agree definitely with that part of the statement. I'm sure myself and Pastor Jason, we definitely agree with that. But now here's where it gets dicey, and I think they start to err. Each person's sin alone brings the wrath of a holy God, broken fellowship with him, ever worsening selfishness and destructiveness, death and condemnation to an eternity in hell. Now, notice they say each person's sin alone causes these penalties. Here, I believe, and I believe Pastor Jason also will concur, that we see a denying of the historic teaching that Adam's sin brought death, broken fellowship with God, and condemnation to all mankind, not our personal sin. And they also deny that Adam's sin rendered any person guilty before he has personally sinned. So they deny that, and that's quoted from their statement. Now, let's read Romans 5:12-21, and I'll do me and Jason did the exegesis on this last night, and I want to read the passages. I'll come up with the synopsis of our exegesis, and it will involve obviously Pastor Jason in the conversation, and ask him some pertinent questions, I believe, to the text. So if you got your Bibles, open to Romans 5, verse 12, and it says this, the Bible says, reading from the NSAB, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many." Verse 16, "The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification." 17, "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ." 18, "So then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of one the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Last verse, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, now, let me give you a synopsis. The passage compares two historical accounts, the account of Adam in the garden, the first Adam, and the history of the incarnate Son of God, the second Adam, and Paul kind of delineates the first and second Adam in his writings. Adam's single act of sinful disobedience brought sin and death to all humanity. On the other hand, through a single act of righteousness and his death on the cross, Christ brought life and righteousness to all who are in Christ. Adam and Christ basically are heads of two races of people. Every human being has a representative. Some have Christ, others have Adam. And we know from the Bible, all in Adam die, all in Christ are made alive. By default, Adam is our representative. We're under condemnation, liable to eternal death, which is the fiery torment in hell due to Adam's sin. In Romans 5:14, Paul proclaims that Adam's universal act of sin prefigures the universal impact of Christ's act. Paul's whole argument is based on the historical fact of the sin of Adam in Genesis 3. Now, Paul depicts both a human, 5 and 12 and 5 and 15, concludes that both Adam and Christ had universal impact on the world, and the sin of Adam is answered only by the righteousness of Christ, the incarnate Son of God. You with me, Pastor Jason?
I am.
Okay. We got about 50, we have about 6 minutes, and I got two questions for you. One, maybe two, but before we get to the break. And the first one has to do with Romans 5:18. It says, so then is through one transgression here resulted condemnation to all men. So according to this passage, Pastor Jason, my question is, does one have to sin first to receive eternal punishment, or is one already in sin and under God's wrath because of what Adam did in the garden? This is seminal. Please help us on this.
Well, Pastor Dominic, I know this isn't popular teaching, but the scripture is written pretty plainly here. Let me just read it again. You've read it a couple times. So then, as through one transgression here resulted condemnation to all men. So it's pretty plainly spoken by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're told God appointed Adam to represent the human race, and Adam sinned as our representative. So God would be just to condemn all mankind to hell as the just punishment for the sin of Adam. And I know that's a provocative statement, but it's exactly what God is telling us here. So then, as through one transgression, here resulted condemnation to all men. So, let me borrow one of your phrases, Pastor Dominic. If you don't like this teaching, you don't have a beef with me, you have a beef with the Bible. So you'll have to do that in your New York accent. It sounds a little better that way.
I think your wife kind of likes when I say that. But which this goes against then the statement that we read earlier by two of these seminary presidents and many others that have signed this, saying that it's dependent upon our sin. But I think the scripture reads, and we respectively disagree with the statement from those two seminaries, but the scripture definitely reads that it's because of Adam's sin that we're under God's wrath, because of sin. So, and I think that's clear. So we have, Jason, you got about 3 minutes for this next question, and it deals with Romans 5:14a. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. So all die, even if they do not specifically disobey God as Adam did. What are some of the ramifications of this in the world today? I mean, this is like you said, not popular stuff.
And here's one of the areas this so-called traditional statement really goes wrong. And we keep saying so-called traditional statement because I don't believe it's the tradition of the Southern Baptist Convention. They've taken that name for themselves. And to be clear, these are two seminary presidents who personally signed it, and I'm hoping they just didn't read it close enough. The seminaries haven't officially taken it. Praise God for that. When they make the claim that death is the result of individual sin alone, my question to them is, what was the sin of the infant who's aborted? How can the death of an infant happen when they have not done any sin themselves? the scriptures clearly teaches us that the wages of sin is death.
Right,
death
right.
exists in this world only because of sin. However, death came into this world through Adam, not every individual's own personal sin. So the fact that we die is one of the ramifications of Adam's sin. We also see that in Adam that we're sinners in our very nature. Verse 19 says, "For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners." So by default, we are a people that love our own ways and not God's ways. Proverbs tells us there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's an effect of the fall of Adam. We're descendants of Adam, and because of Adam's sin, our sin nature, the things that seem right to us, will lead to death, will lead to that eternal death, because we're doing things our way and not God's way.
Yeah, I think, I remember I was talking about this yesterday with someone before coming up here, and we got about 35, maybe 1 minute left on this segment, maybe 35, 40 seconds. But, you know, they were saying, well, what is there? Is there an age of accountability here? And the Bible doesn't speak to that. And it speaks to that, like you said, the wages of sin are death. And that's exactly what I believe the Bible teaches. We'll continue this topic when on the other side. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Koinonia on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. I'm Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, filling in for Tom Brown today, and we are talking about the doctrine of original sin. See you on the other side of the break. I want to take just a minute to thank the folks at MyPillow who make this show possible. All of you out there know that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. In fact, they're having a $25 extravaganza. In fact, when Mike started, MyPillow was just a problem solution for one product company. Well, since then, with the help of their dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillow, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six packs of towel sets, $25. Also, brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all the new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, even king size, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-519-7306 and use promo code Street Talk. We are refuting, respectively, a so-called traditional statement of faith, saying that the doctrine of original sin is really brought on by man's sin and not what Adam did in the garden. Me and Pastor Jason Smathers believe that obviously it's what Adam did in the garden that affected us all. And to give you a little Old Testament background on this, that, you know, Paul, obviously, that's the only Bible he had at that time, was the Old Testament. Think about in Joshua 7. I kind of put this under the heading of corporate solidarity. In Joshua 7, remember Achan committed the sin of taking the unclean thing and hiding it under his tent. Notice who was blamed for that sin. It was Israel's sin. Israel was the one to blame. In fact, until Achan was destroyed, him and his family, Israel could not even move forward until that sin was expunged from the camp. So it wasn't that Achan was personally blamed for the sin. The sin that Achan committed affected all of Israel. And scholars call that corporate solidarity. So Pastor Jason, you're still with me?
I am.
So I have a question to that. So I gave you the historical context, and then thinking about it again, most of the nation of Israel, if the king sinned, the nation suffered. So there's this idea in the Old Testament about corporate solidarity. So this should not be so far removed from what Paul is saying. And maybe later I'll give you some contemporary significance. But I do got a question burning, Pastor Jason, and maybe you can help me out on this. My question is, people say this does not seem fair, that we should be blamed because of Adam's sin. I mean, why should I be blamed for something that somebody else did? I mean, it's just a question that I believe some people want to know. Why do I have to be blamed for what Adam did?
It's good that you dealt with the Old Testament background there, that it's happened historically. I believe individual liberty is one of the greatest idols of Americans today. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. We're told from birth we can be whatever we want to be, do anything you can put your mind to. And the value we place on personal liberty in America blinds us to this concept of a corporate responsibility. However, as you showed us in the case of Achan, historically, in other cultures and times, this concept would have been better understood, and it wouldn't have been as much of a stumbling block as it is to the modern American. Leon Morris, in his commentary on Romans, said that the view that we're condemned because of Adam's sin is not wildly popular in our highly individualistic age, but many remind us that we stand in solidarity with the entire race, and this is something we must keep in view. So he's right that there still are some speaking out that we need to stand in solidarity with all humans across the globe, and they still have a little thought of that in their minds. And that's what Paul was teaching us as well. And even though we live in this individualistic society where we esteem liberty so highly and personal freedom so highly, we still have modern examples of how we can stand and fall as a group. Let me ask you to think back with me to the Cuban Missile Crisis. The United States had over 100 missiles, all armed with nuclear warheads, scattered among American bases in Italy, Turkey, and the UK. They're all in key positions to strike Moscow. In turn, the Soviets began building bases in Cuba, and they eventually had 40 missiles ready with the ability to strike anywhere in the United States, all armed with nuclear warheads. Now, President Kennedy, he had the authority to launch missiles at the Soviets at any time.
Yes.
What would have happened if Kennedy did just that? Would they just take out, blame Kennedy alone? Would they have gone after him? Or, what Khrushchev and the Soviets would have done is not blame Kennedy alone, but they would have condemned all of America. Those 40 warheads would have been exploding all over this nation, and we would have fallen together. Just as Kennedy represented all of America in October of 62, Adam represented all of his family, all of mankind. And he had the authority to act on behalf of mankind. So getting back to your question, is it fair? Perhaps not by the modern American standard and modern American hearts. But it's the plan that God chose, and his ways are higher than our ways. We should take the scripture at face value.
And I think just to piggyback off that, and then maybe I can give a little contemporary context for Paul and ask you another question, is that we are all made in the image of God, and people will use that for their own entitlements, but they will not use it in responsibility to the one and true God being made in his image. So I think that's well said, and that's a great a cultural example. And just think about Paul's day. We looked at the historical or the Jewish tradition about Achan's sin and how Israel would be Israel would actually be blamed if a king would be in sin, the whole nation would be under God's discipline, so to speak. But in the contemporary context, Paul's original audience would be so familiar with this type of headship, with notions of emperor's head of the body, which is the empire. So what affects the emperor, Caesar at that time, affects the empire. And what the emperor decides affects the entire empire. That's the contemporary significance, too. So it just fits in historically in the Jewish background and obviously contemporary in the Roman background and Roman tradition. This would fit, as I said, historical and contemporary context. So on the other hand, Jason, if I may, let me check our time here. We are at 2:30, so we have 7 minutes before we get to the the next break. So on the other hand, Pastor Jason, how is Adam a type of the one to come? What does Paul mean by that? What does he mean by Adam is a type of the one to come?
Well, that, of course, is the good news. So if you're crying, hey, that's not fair that we're condemned in Adam, well, then mercy is not fair either. Mercy is not fair either, but praise God that forgiveness and mercy is given. Every sin earns the wrath of God, even if you reject the notion that we're condemned because of Adam's sin. Every person has sinned themselves and has no good reward coming from God. So what we justly deserve is the wrath of God. But what Christ did for us was to take the sins of every believer upon himself and then die on the cross, taking the penalty those sins deserve. So if you trust in Christ, the penalty for your sins have been paid. So when Paul called Adam a type of the one to come, it's because Adam and Jesus are both heads of their people. Adam as your representative, and if you remain in that condition, you receive the wrath of God for your sin when you die. But the good news is that if you have Jesus as your representative, then the wrath of God has been appeased at the cross. And that whole passage that you've read in Romans 5, going back and forth between Adam and Christ, and everything that Adam did, Jesus did better.
But amen. Yes, very good. Yes.
The free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one that the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And it goes back and forth, Adam, Christ, and back to Christ. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions, resulting in justification. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Through the one act of righteousness, there results the justification of life to all men. The obedience of the one, the many, will be made righteous. So grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I was just reading the Jesus side of these passages. Adam was a type of the one to come, but Adam failed. He was the representative, and if you are in Adam, like everybody is when you're first born, you stand condemned with Adam. But if you're in Christ, Christ lived a perfect and sinless life, and as a representative, he was perfect in every way. And this shows that we stand perfect as he's perfect if we're in Christ.
And I think, I mean, obviously the good news, and thank God for that, because as you said, we don't deserve, I mean, because of sin and because of our nature that we're born with, we don't deserve the grace that God gives us. Now, I was just thinking when you were talking about, you know, how we live in a culture that teaches us, you know, that be all you can be, so to speak. You know, both of us in a past life did some prison time, and I think about that sometimes, and I think about entitlement. I mean, people today are just entitled. I mean, they feel like that they're entitled, and they believe that they got things coming. I think that you know, in some of my time in prison, I've seen where prisoners and people in prison feel entitled. They feel like they have something coming, and I think that carries over into that be all you can be. You know, you leave the prison setting, and now you got to get a menial job and things like that. So I think culturally, the culture teaches us that we are entitled. We deserve this. We deserve that. And I think that's to your point, Jason. Do you agree? And you got about 30 seconds to see if you agree with that.
Yeah, we see that. We see that, of course, in prison, where everybody's ready just to get their three squares a day and don't want to do anything for it, and not much they can do for it there. But we see it in the world today too. This is becoming more and more of a society with our hands out. And, I deserve it. It's kind of the attitude that we have as Americans.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've almost become a totalitarian And you know, I heard Dr. White say one time on his podcast that we are just told what to think, not how to think. And I think that's really expressive of the world today. But anyway, hope you enjoyed the first part of that total depravity issue. We have one more part of that coming, but I think it's something that we can learn from, and may the Lord bless and keep you and shine his light upon all of you.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.